This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد الحمد لله we are resuming our Wednesday night class. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put blessing in this gathering and remember us and mention us in a gathering much better than this. And the title for this course is Breeze of Mercy, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's dealings with others. How the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam dealt with other people, with other individuals and other groups of people. When we study the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there are a couple of different subjects and topics that we could study. So oftentimes there is mention of the subject of seerah. There is talk about, let's take a class on seerah, which is essentially where we are studying the life of the Prophet ﷺ, and usually goes in chronological order. So usually begins at the very beginning of his life, ﷺ, sometimes even before he was born, ﷺ, so we can understand the context. Sometimes classes and books on seerah even begin with the story of Ibrahim. Because with the story of Ibrahim, you then have mention of Ismail. And then from there we have talk about the well of Zamzam and the basically how Mecca became a city in which people live in. Because when Ibrahim a.s. first went there, there was no one living in Mecca. بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ Nothing grew there, no one lived there. Until there was the well of Zamzam and people started congregating due to the events at the life of Ismail and his mother, alayhim salam jami'an. So they will go in chronological order in these discussions of seerah, and they will go in the order of his life all the way until his death, alayhi salatu wasalam. And it will be event based. So there will be discussion of this event and that one. There will be a lot of names and a lot of dates, etc. Another subject or way that we study the life of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a subject known as shama'il, the shama'il of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is essentially description of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there is a very famous collection of ahadith related to his shama'il, his characteristics, known as, which was compiled by the scholar known as At-Tirmidhi, the same one who has a collection of hadith. He collected al-shama'il, and there are other books mentioning this topic as well. So they will go over the physical description of Rasulullah ﷺ, as well as his character description. And they will go into such details, like how he dressed, and how he walked, and how he talked, and everything down to how the companions described how his hand felt when they would shake his hand. That's a discussion of the shama'il. And then there is also another way that we can study from his life, which is more thematic. And that's kind of what we are doing here in this course. A lot of the narrations and the stories that we are going to be mentioning don't always get mentioned in classes of seerah or in classes of shama'il. Some of them do, but many of them don't, because they're related to a particular event or a particular occurrence that happened in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a relatively contemporary book that has been recently published by a group, actually, under the tutelage of one of the contemporary scholars. And they basically went through a lot of these different narrations through the books of Sirah, different books about the Prophet ﷺ, and extracted from them narrations that specifically highlight how the Prophet ﷺ dealt with X, Y, and Z. Whether it was within his family members, whether it was somebody under his authority or control, or perhaps it was somebody that he was dealing with in a battle, for example. Or it might have been not even a believer, a non-Muslim, or someone that he knew was a hypocrite. Or it could have even been his dealings with animals, for example, or inanimate objects. All of these different narrations, they were extracted and compiled in this book. And you can see how thick it is. So there's a lot to study and a lot to discover when it comes to how he dealt with different individuals and different groups of people, alayhi salatu wasalam. So we will be mentioning, I don't think we'll be able to go over all of them. We'll try to go over as many as we can. And all of them are relevant to our lives. But we will try to select the ones that are most practical and most relevant to a lot of the occurrences that we go through in our everyday lives. Tonight we would like to introduce this topic and introduce this subject by speaking about the importance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a role model specifically. And a few things to mention before we get into that is, like any other class or course where we are mentioning his name, whether it is a class of Sirah or a class of Shama'il or this class or a class of Hadith or any class in which the Prophet's name is mentioned, we should remember to always send salutations upon him, alayhi salatu wasalam. We say, Sallallahu alayhi wasalam, which means may the prayers and peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي. Allah and His angels send salat upon the Nabi, upon the Prophet ﷺ. And the scholars said that the salat of Allah and the angels is, the salat from Allah is mercy, is rahmah, and from the angels it is dua. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to do the same. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا O you who believe, صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا So send salat and salam upon the Messenger, عليه الصلاة والسلام. And the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ صَلَّى عَلَيَّ صَلَاةً صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ بِهَا عَشْرًا That whoever sends one salutation upon me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pray for them, will send salutations for them 10 times. So the reward is much greater than the action. And of the times when it is most encouraged to increase in salat and salam upon the Messenger is on the day of Friday especially. On the day of Friday, we should increase in our salat and salam upon the Prophet ﷺ. And generally speaking, it is of the best forms of dhikr. Now dhikr, remembrance of Allah, is of many different types. We can say subhanallah, we can say alhamdulillah, we can say Allahu Akbar, we can say la ilaha illallah, we can say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, we can say astaghfirullah. So many different types of dhikr. Reciting Qur'an, reading Qur'an is a form of dhikr. Making dua is a form of dhikr. A companion came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, what portion of my dua should be salat and salam upon you? Can I make it one third of my dua? And the Prophet ﷺ said, yes, or you can make it more. He said, how about half, how about two thirds, etc. Then he said, how about if I make all of my dua salat and salam upon you? And the Prophet ﷺ gave him permission to do so. And that's one of the few types of dhikr that the Prophet ﷺ gave, that open-ended, as one of my teachers used to say, like a blank check, permission to make as much of as you can. So that is something we should do generally speaking throughout our days and nights. And we should increase that especially on the day of Friday. And whenever we hear mention of him, alayhi salatu wasalam, we should say, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, he is bakhil, he is stingy with himself. The one who hears my name and does not say, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, does not send salutations upon the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. So just as a reminder that as we go through this course, we will be mentioning his name a lot. So make it a habit that every time you hear his name, you say sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And also, when we are making dua, and we talked about this in our previous course, before Hajj, we had a short class on the dua of Sayyidul Istighfar, and we talked about the etiquette of dua. And we said that you should begin dua with salat and salam upon the Messenger, and conclude your dua with salat and salam upon the Messenger. So it is a good habit to have in general. Yes, it is from the etiquette and from the adab of dua that we begin by making salat and salam. And it's also part of salah as well. In salah, how do we conclude our salah? In the last tashahud, we say salat al-Ibrahimiyah, which is one of the best ways of saying salat and salam upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So even the greatest act of worship that we do is concluded each time with salat and salam upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And some of the scholars, there's difference of opinion amongst the different schools of fiqh. Some of the scholars actually made it a mandatory aspect of salah that you do the salat al-Ibrahimiyya. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. So definitely it's an important component of our dua. All of these etiquette and these adab of dua are beloved to Allah, and they increase our chances of our dua being responded to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, also in Surah Al-Ahzab, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. That indeed, definitely, there is emphasis. Allah begins this verse with emphasis. That in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a perfect role model. Uswa is a role model. Hasana means perfect. Somebody might know someone named Hasan. That means perfection or beauty. A beautiful, a perfect role model in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For who? Who will take him as a role model? لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. For those that truly desire Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the last day. And what is meant by that is being pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And being in a good position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the last day. وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. And they remember Allah often, a lot, in excess. This is a sign of the believers, that they make a lot of dhikr. And Rasulullah ﷺ is a perfect role model for the believers. The scholar Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he commented on this verse. He is a famous scholar and of tafsir and of hadith and of history. And his book of tafsir is one of the most famous books of tafsir that is studied and read from. He says, هذه الآية الكريمة أصل كبير في التأسي برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في أقواله وأفعاله وأحواله. He said, this verse here is an axiom. It is like a principle for us. عظيم. It's a profound principle for us. Or أصلٌ كبير. In taking the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم as a role model, in his أقوال, في أقواله, by way of his statements, verbal statements, وأفعاله, and his actions, وأحواله, and his dealings and the different states of being that he was in. عليه الصلاة والسلام. And these three things summarize for us the sunnah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. When we use the word sunnah, what does the word sunnah mean? Why are you smiling, Hamza? Trick question? So, if you're smiling, that means you know the answer. So what's the answer? Depends on the context. You guys agree with that answer? He seems pretty confident. What do you guys think? Okay. So that's one correct answer. Yes. The way of the Prophet, the tradition of the Prophet ﷺ. What do you think? Since you're sitting so close, I'm going to have to pick on you. Linguistically means path, right? Inshallah. Now he's bringing us the linguistic meaning. Everybody can see you on the camera, by the way. Say, wave to the camera. Linguistically, it means a path. Okay, you can say that. You can follow the path or methodology. Yeah. So what Hamza meant, what Hafiz Hamza meant when he said depends on context, is basically the word sunnah can refer to different things depending on who we ask and depending in which context of Islamic studies we're using it. So, let's say, for example, I made an announcement after Maghrib Salah, right? I said we will begin the class after the Sunnah prayer, after the Sunnah Salah. So in that context, does Sunnah mean the statements and actions and whatnot of the Prophet ﷺ? What does it mean? It means a recommended, it means a better, more accurate word would be voluntary. So, if sunnah is voluntary, What is the Arabic word that we use to refer to something that is obligatory? We say fard. And that also depends on who you ask. Some may say wajib. Right? So something that is fard. So we made Maghrib Salah, that is a fard prayer, meaning obligatory. You got to pray Maghrib Salah. Every believer has to pray 5 times a day. Maghrib is one of those 5 prayers. That is part of our agreement with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we pray. Now, the extra prayer that we did after Maghrib, those 2 extra rak'ahs, that's referred to as sunnah, in that context we are referring to something that is voluntary. Something that is not obligatory, it is recommended. One who does it will be rewarded, but if you don't do it, you will not be held accountable. There is no sin upon you. But if a person doesn't pray Maghrib, are they going to be held accountable for that? They will be held accountable for that because it's mandatory. It is fard. So in that context, in the context of fiqh, in the context of do's and don'ts, in the context of jurisprudence, the word sunnah refers to voluntary acts of worship. In the context of hadith, for example, in the context of hadith, if you ask the hadith specialists, they will have a particular definition of what sunnah is. In the context of the subject of usul al-fiqh, there will be a particular definition of what sunnah is. Generally speaking, when we use the word sunnah, like not in a particular context, but when we say generally, like for example, we say we've got to follow the sunnah of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We use it in that general term. We are then referring to what we just said here, what the brother told us. The statements of the Prophet ﷺ, the actions of the Prophet ﷺ, and his different states of being, or his, also they will mention sometimes, his approvals, that which he approved of. So, he might have said something, he might have done something, or somebody might have done something, but he approved of their action. So that would fall under the umbrella of his sunnah, his tradition, as sister told us, his way, alayhi salatu wassalam. So this verse is a profound principle for us to understand that the Prophet ﷺ is a role model, is a uswa hasana, a perfect and a role model. And in Arabic, there is also another word that we use for role model. It's called qudwa, uswa or qudwa, which also refers to a role model. And qudwa also refers to it's closely related to another Arabic word that we use to refer to what? Leader. Like a qa'id is the leader. Right? So there is a slight difference in connotation there. And the Prophet ﷺ is the leader of the believers. You are following. When you're talking about someone in leadership, there is a leader and there is a follower. So we are following the Messenger ﷺ in his statements, in his actions, and in his dealings. It's extremely important for us to view the Prophet ﷺ as a role model and as a leader, especially in our times. Now, we may get used to hearing about the Prophet ﷺ, and we hear these beautiful stories or narrations, and it seems very far away. And it seems kind of far-fetched and romanticized, and something that is not practical or attainable. But when we talk about the Prophet ﷺ as a role model, and that's one of the goals and objectives of this course, is we could talk about the Prophet ﷺ in these different situations, actual events that took place, and apply, extract those lessons and apply them in our lives when we find ourselves in those situations, so that there can be closeness between us and the Prophet ﷺ. And there can also be that idea of, I am following the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because oftentimes when you talk to people, they will say, oh, well that was in that time. You say, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did X, Y, and Z. They'll say, yeah, well he lived in a different time, a different place. That's for that time. But I can't do that now. And that's not accurate. And that's not appropriate. Also in Surah Al-Ahzab, there are a lot of verses today from Surah Al-Ahzab, mashallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. It's not befitting, it's not appropriate for a believing man or a believing woman that when Allah or His Messenger, so Allah always mentions His Messenger parallel, in conjunction with Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not befitting when Allah or His Messenger give a commandment or say to do X, Y, or Z that the believers sit back and they say, well, let's see what our options are, either to obey or not. That's not appropriate. وَمَن يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. Whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger. Again, you see how they are mentioned in parallel. This gives insight into the authority of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger has gone astray greatly. Because nowadays also you have folks that say, well, I'm just going to follow the Qur'an. I don't need hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I don't need the sunnah. How are we even going to understand so many passages of the Qur'an without the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? His sunnah was mubayyin wa mufassir lil-Qur'an. There are some verses of the Qur'an that are clear and explicit and can be understood at face value. There are many verses of the Qur'an that we need to understand in light of how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood them and how he applied them. And so we would be lost without the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, all of the prophets have been sent as role models. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Qur'an, in Surah Al-An'am, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهِ فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, speaking of the prophets, this came as in a passage in Surah Al-An'am, where Allah mentioned several of the prophets. He mentioned many of them by name, and then at the end of that passage, he said, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهِ. These are the people that Allah has definitely rightly guided. فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِهِ. So follow their guidance. اِقْتَدِهِ. Again, that idea of following. قُدْوَ. قَائِد. Follow their guidance. Now this verse is addressed to whom? It is addressed to us by extension. But فَبِهُدَاهُ اِقْتَدِهِ أَنْتَ. In Arabic, the literal translation is Allah speaking to one individual who is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And whenever the Messenger of Allah is addressed in the Qur'an with a command, then his ummah falls under that command by extension. That's another principle of tafsir to keep in mind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of creation, to follow the guidance and be a follower and take the prophets as role models. And that's addressed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So then for us, we are more in need of that advice. And we are more in line to follow that commandment. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam falls under that. Because he is also from the Anbiya, from the Rasul, from the messengers. فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِهُ. We quoted Ibn Kathir earlier. Ibn Kathir also mentions over here, أَيْ اِقْتَدِي وَاتَّبِعُ. وَإِذَا كَانَ هَذَا أَمْرًا لِلرَّسُولِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ فَأُمَّتُهُ تَبَعٌ لَهُ فِيمَا يَشْرَعُهُ وَيَأْمُرُهُمْ بِهِ. He says, if this is a commandment to the Prophet ﷺ, then the ummah of Muhammad ﷺ is also expected to follow in that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he also comments on this verse, and he says that وَفِي قَصَصِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ عِبْرَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِهِمْ. He says, in the stories of the Anbiya are a lot of lessons for the believers. Why? Because the prophets and the messengers were tested. فَإِنَّهُمْ لَابُدَّ أَن يُبْتَلُوا بِمَا هُوَ أَكْثَرُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. The prophets and the messengers were tested, and we are also undergoing different tests and challenges. And the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith that أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَاءَ وَكَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. The ones that are tested the most are the prophets and the messengers. They underwent extremely difficult tests and challenges. And they are the best of creation, the Anbiya. They were chosen and selected to receive wahi, to receive revelation, and to guide people to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if the best of people are being tested difficulty, then obviously we also will be tested as well. And so when we find ourselves in these challenging times, we look to the Anbiya for guidance. We look to their stories for solace and to feel better and also to extract lessons on how to behave in light of these tests. لقد كان في قصصهم عبرة لأولي الألباب. Allah said in Surah Yusuf that definitely in their stories, the stories of the prophets, are ibra, are profound lessons for those of intellect. Now, we are supposed to follow the anbiya, the prophets and the messengers of Allah, in many different ways. We'll mention a few of those examples. Of the ways that we are expected to follow the anbiya and take them as role models are their strength in their obedience to Allah and in their worship. Al-quwwatu fi ta'ati Allah ta'ala wa ibadatihi. The strength that they exemplified in their obedience to Allah and in their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Sad, He says, وَذْكُرْ عِبَادَنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ أُولِي الْأَيْدِي وَالْأَبْصَارِ. Allah mentions a few prophets by name, Ibrahim, and his son Ishaq, and his son Ya'qub. These are all, each one is a son of the previous one. Ibrahim, of his sons was Ishaq, and of his sons was Ya'qub. And who is the son of Ya'qub? Yusuf. That's why Yusuf alayhi salam is mentioned to have one of the best lineages, because he is a prophet, son of a prophet, son of a prophet, son of a prophet. Several generations, one after another. So Allah mentions these, and then He describes them as أُولِي الْأَيْدِي وَالْأَبْصَارِ. What is Aidi wal Absar? One of the early scholars, Ata al-Khurasani rahimahullah, who is a famous scholar of tafsir, he says, Ay uli al-quwwati fi al-ibada wal-ilmi bi amri Allah. Meaning they had strength in their worship and knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they combined these two characteristics, and that is what these are some of the characteristics that made them extra special. Another one says, "U'tu quwwatan fil ibadati wa basaran fid din." They were given strength in ibadah. They would have a lot of strength and endurance and stamina in terms of their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes one of us gets up to do some ibadah and we get tired. We get tired. We say, for example, "I'm going to fast every Monday and Thursday." And we fast Monday. And then Thursday comes along and we're like, "I think I'll only do Mondays." And then the next week comes along and we're like, "I think I'll just do the three white days." And then the three white days come along and they say, "I'll just do Ashura and the day of Arafah." And then those days come and you say, "Man, I'm just going to do Ramadan." You know? So we have some weakness, right? Somebody comes and they say, "I'm going to pray Qiyamul Layl." And then the alarm clock goes off and they're like, "Oh, I think I'll just, I'll get up for Fajr, inshallah." So we have some weakness, some lack of energy when it comes to ibadah. Or we think, you know, "I'm going to give sadaqah." And we come to the donation box like, just 20 instead of 100, you know. You know, we'll just decrease that a little bit. Some little bit of weakness. So they had strength in their ibadah. And that's why they are role models. We should follow them in that example as well. Look at Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim, in Surah Ibrahim, he made a lot of dua, Ibrahim. And we have those du'as recorded. We should memorize them. Ibrahim, of the du'as he made is, he said, "Rabbi ja'alni muqima as-salati wa min dhurriyati. Rabbana wa taqabbal du'a." He said, "Rabbi, O my Lord and Master and Creator, allow me to be of those who establish with diligence salah and my dhurriya, my progeny, those that come after me." This is what he's making du'a for. This is what he was concerned about. This is what he's begging Allah for. If we were to analyze our du'as, probably a big chunk of our du'a is about dunya matters. Probably. And that's not a bad thing. It's good that we are making du'a to Allah for our needs in this dunya. But if you analyze the du'a of the prophets in the Qur'an, the majority of what they asked for was related to the akhirah. So we should not forget about making dua to Allah for the matters of the dunya. That's part of إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. It's part of relying upon Allah. But we shouldn't forget the akhirah. And as much as we mention it, that will correct our mindset. Look at Ismail alayhi salam. Ismail in Surah Maryam, Allah describes him as وَكَانَ يَأْمُرُ أَهْلَهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ وَكَانَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ مَرْضِيًّا. He used to command his family with salah. He would remind them and call them to salah and zakah. And he was always trying to be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also in Surah Al-Anbiya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the prophets, وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا. Allah says, we made them imams, leaders, following the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guiding others based on the amr, based on the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ. And we revealed to them, فِعْلَ الْخَيْرَاتِ, to do good deeds, وَإِقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ, establish prayer, وَإِيتَاءَ الزَّكَاةِ, and to give charity. وَكَانُوا لَنَا عَابِدِينَ. Allah describes them as عابدين, worshippers, the Anbiya and the Prophets. This was their state of being. And of course, the Prophet ﷺ is mentioned in that light in many different places. In one place in the Quran, in Surah Al-Insan, وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَاسْجُدْ لَهُ وَسَبِّحْهُ لَيْلًا طَوِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make sujood, to prostrate, and to make tasbih, sabbih, throughout the night, in long durations of time. قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Stand up in the night praying except for a little bit. Meaning most of the night, O Messenger of Allah, stand up in prayer, a portion of the night, sleep. And of course that was a commandment to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the early stages of revelation. And then in the end of Surah Al-Muzzammil, there's some more clarification on how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instructing the believers and recommending to stand up in Qiyamul Layl. But the idea is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was strong in his ibadah. فَاعْبُدُهُ وَاسْطَبِرْ لِعِبَادَتِهِ. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاسْطَبِرْ. Have patience and persevere in ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ. Stand up in tahajjud at night, reciting the Qur'an throughout the night. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as was described by his wife, was standing in prayer until his heels, his ankles were swollen. So we have the ibadah of the Prophets and of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Secondly, we have their mention of Allah, dhikr. The Anbiya were of those that made a lot of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And dua, calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were very diligent about their dua, and excessive in their dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Qur'an is filled with those examples. If we just extracted the verses of the du'as of the prophets from the Qur'an, that would be plenty to discuss. Ayyub, وَأَيُّوبَ إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Ayyub is afflicted with an intense illness. So he calls out to Allah. And he calls him by his names and his attributes of mercy. وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. We responded to him. فَكَشَفْنَا مَا بِهِ مِنْ ضُرُّ. And we cured him of his illness. وَآتَيْنَاهُ أَهْلَهُ وَمِثْلَهُمْ مَعَهُمْ رَحْمَةً مِنْ عِنْدِنَا وَذِكْرَى لِلْعَابِدِينَ. And we blessed him and his family. So Allah gave him more than what he asked for. Look at Yunus. وَذَنُّونِ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا فَظَنَّ أَنْ لَنْ نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Yunus was hasty. And so he ended up getting swallowed by the whale. And so he calls out to Allah. أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. This was the dua that he made. There's no one worthy of worship except you. I have wronged myself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ نَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمْ كَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. You know, in another mention of Yunus, in Surah Safat, Allah says, help me out, Hamza. فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ. Is that correct? لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Is that correct? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if he wasn't of those who did tasbih, who remembered Allah. Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah, one of the early scholars, he comments on this verse. And he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to Yunus alayhi salam before even he found himself in this situation of being in the belly of the whale. Meaning before even he found himself, you know, you guys know the story of Yunus, right? Everybody knows the story of Prophet Yunus? Yes? Who can tell us the story of Prophet Yunus in 30 seconds? Not 30 seconds. Okay. Yunus alayhi salam, like all the other messengers, was sent to a group of people. He was calling his people, calling them. Nobody listened to him. Nobody listened. So he got tired of them. He said, forget you guys. I'm out of here. And he left them. Now, the Anbiya, the prophets, they can't do that. They can't do that. They are sent to deliver a message to a people, and they stay giving da'wah until Allah tells them, move on. And you know, we have mention of a lot of nations being sent punishments when they did not listen to their messengers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would instruct the messengers, okay, time is up, go, and now they are going to be punished for not accepting the message. Yunus alayhi salam didn't wait for that. He got tired of his people, so he left them. So he wanted to get out of there, so he gets on a boat. He finds some people traveling, he's like, let me ride with you guys. He jumps on the boat, he goes out in the boat. Guess what? They're caught in a storm. They're like, we're gonna sink. We have too much weight. We gotta get rid of someone. They're like, who are we gonna get rid of? So they're like, we're gonna pick straws. You know, picking the short, what do they say? You got the short straw. So they pick the short straw, comes on Yunus alayhi salam. They're like, oh man, this is a good guy. We can't get rid of him. So they tried again. He got it again. They tried a third time. Again him. So they said, what are we going to do? It's your day. So they tossed him out of the boat so that the rest can survive. You know, they say, take one for the team. He had to take one for the team. So they jumped, threw him off of the boat. And he ends up getting swallowed by a whale. And he's in the belly of the whale. فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ. He's in darknesses. What do whales do? They come up to the surface, they're mammals. So they come up to the surface, they breathe, and then they go really deep. So he's in the darkness of the ocean, the darkness of the belly, and the darkness of the night. Darknesses. And he calls out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this dua, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Eventually the whale takes him close to shore and spits him out. And the scholars say the whale swallowed him whole, didn't chew him or bite on him. So he was fully intact. He was preserved. Right? It's from a miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the scholars commented on this verse, فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ. If he wasn't of those that remembered Allah, he would have stayed in that belly until the day of judgment. The scholars, they mentioned that he used to remember Allah before even he found himself in this time of difficulty. It wasn't like us. You know us, we are like those that Allah mentions in the Quran, فَإِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ دَعَوُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ إِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ. People find themselves in the boat, and the boat is rocking, there's a storm, everybody prays to Allah with sincerity. Then they get saved, they come to shore, they forget about Allah, and they don't worship Him. So Yunus alayhi salam remembered Allah in a time of ease, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him at the time of difficulty. So we have their strength in obedience and worship of Allah, and we have the dhikr. The prophets were those that had a lot of dhikr, remembrance of Allah, and du'a. Du'a, the Prophet ﷺ on the day of Badr, which was a very difficult day. The Prophet ﷺ facing the Qibla and is making du'a. And he said, Allahumma anjiz li ma wa'adtani. Allahumma aati ma wa'adtani. Oh Allah, fulfill your promise to me. Oh Allah, grant me that which you promised to me. Allahumma in tuhlik hadhihi al-isaba min ahli al-islami lan tu'bad fil ard. Oh Allah, if these group of men with me are killed, nobody will be left on earth to worship you. These are the only believers on earth. The group of believers in Badr was very small, just a few hundred. And so he was making dua and raising his hands until his upper garment fell off of his back. And so Abu Bakr came and picked up the garment and put it on him and hugged him from the back and told him, Ya Nabi Allah, kafaka munashadataka rabbak, fa innahu sayunjizu laka ma wa'adak. O Messenger of Allah, that is sufficient. Your crying out to your Lord, He will fulfill His promise to you, O Messenger of Allah. Number three, we also have their khushu', their humility and their focus. The Anbiya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them in Surah Maryam. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Those that were blessed by Allah. مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّةِ آدَمْ وَمِمَّنْ حَمَلْنَا مَعَ نُوحٍ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْرَائِيلَ وَمِمَّنْ هَدَيْنَا وَاجْتَبَيْنَا. Allah says, those who we blessed from the prophets, from the progeny of Adam, and from those that we carried on the boat with Nuh, and from those from the progeny of Ibrahim and Israel. Who is Israel? When there is mention of Israel, who is Israel? Which prophet in the Quran is mentioned by Israel? Ya'qub. And وَمِمَّنْ هَدَيْنَا وَاجْتَبَيْنَا. And of those who we guided and selected, إِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُ الرَّحْمَانِ خَرُّوا سُجَّدًا وَبُكِيًّا. When they hear the verses of Ar-Rahman, when they hear the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they fall down and prostrate. خَرُّوا سُجَّدًا وَبُكِيًّا. And they cry. That is their reaction to hearing the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah نزل أحسن الحديث كتابا متشابها مثانية تقشعر منه جلود الذين يخشون ربهم. Allah revealed the best of speech. Those who believe, when they hear this, تقشعر منه جلود الذين يخشون ربهم. They get goosebumps from their focus and from their humility and from their khushu' when they hear the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, because they're understanding what they're hearing. And of course, because they're thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When there's verses of Jannah, they're thinking of the reward of Allah. Verses of punishment, they're thinking of the punishment of the hellfire and seeking refuge in Allah. And that kind of reaction to the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yields khushu'. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to say, Ya muqallib al qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinik. O Allah, the one who flips the hearts, grant steadfastness to my heart upon your deen. Also, from the ways that we follow their example and we take them as role models is in ilm, is in knowledge. The Anbiya and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are the most knowledgeable of the creation of Allah. And they are sent to teach people. In Surah Al-Jumu'ah and in other places in the Qur'an, Allah mentions about the Messenger, يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. That the Messenger recites the book of Allah to them and teaches them, purifies them and teaches them the book and guidance. كِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. So they are sent as teachers. The Prophet ﷺ says about the Anbiya that nobody inherits money from the Anbiya when they pass away. When Ali passes away, may Allah grant him a long life upon obedience and bless him in his rizq, then his children and those after him, his family, they will inherit from his wealth. When one of you pass away, then your families will have from your inheritance. But the Anbiya, لَمْ يُوَرِّثُوا دِنَارًا وَلَا دِرْهَمًا. The Prophet ﷺ said, they don't leave behind any inheritance of a dollar, of a dirham or a dinar, of a gold or a silver coin. What do they leave behind? العلم. العلم. And so the Prophet ﷺ says, whoever takes from that knowledge, then they have certainly seized something very valuable. The ulama are known as warathatul anbiya. Scholars, people that learn and study the religion of Allah, they are known as the inheritors of the prophets. Because the prophets didn't leave behind money, they left behind knowledge. And so we are expected to follow them in their knowledge as well. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says, لا سبيل إلى السعادة والفلاح لا في الدنيا ولا في الآخرة إلا على أيدي الرسل. He says, there is no path, there is no way to happiness, there is no way to success, neither in this dunya nor in the akhirah except by following the path of the messengers. وَلَا سَبِيلَ إِلَى مَعْرِفَةِ الطَّيِّبِ وَالْخَبِيثِ عَلَى التَّفْصِيلِ إِلَّا مِنْ جِهَتِهِمْ. This is very critical. And there is no way of knowing right from wrong and pure from evil in detail, عَلَى التَّفْصِيلِ, in detail, except through them, through the wahi that they are delivering. وَلَا يُنَالُ رِضَ اللَّهِ أَلْبَتَّةَ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَيْدِيهِمْ. And we don't know how to please Allah except by following their example. This is very critical. Because there is a lot of discussion now about morality. First of all, religiosity is on a down low. All religions, not just Muslims. All religions, religiosity is taking a nosedive. People are more inclined to things like agnosticism and atheism and deism and all of these different isms and isms, where they basically, you know what the crux of it is selfishness and ego problem. Because at the crux of it is, don't tell me what to do. Pray 5 times a day. Don't tell me to pray 5 times a day. I'll do what I want with my day. Pay zakah, this amount. Don't tell me what to do with my money. It's my money. I earned it. Don't tell me what to do. Why do I have to spend it? You know? So then where do we get, how do we basically have good people? Well, they say, well, there's morals. And there's general values. Be a good person. You don't need religion to be a good person. You've heard this argument before. You don't need religion to be a good person. Just be a good person. Don't steal, don't cheat, and don't lie. Well, you can lie a little bit, but just make sure nobody is harmed, right? Just be a good person. But that's extremely subjective. A good person now, tomorrow that can change. Forget about tomorrow. A good person this morning is different from a good person this evening. In one day that can change. Why? Because the definition or the measure stick, the mi'yar as we say in Arabic, the scale, how we measure good from bad is not consistent. It keeps changing. So take for example modesty. Take for example modesty. Let's not go to anywhere in the East. Let's stay in America. If you were to go back in time, 100 years, within some people's lifetimes. You know, there are people that are 100 years and more alive. Go to their childhood. Did people dress the same way they dress now? 100 years from now is what? Early 1900s? Look at those black and white pictures from the early 1900s. Did people dress in the same way? Did they behave in the same, forget about dress. Did they behave in the same way? Did they even speak in the same way, the manner of speaking? No. And if you were to go at that time, if you were to go at that time, then that would have been less polite than if you would have gone back 200 years ago, where women actually used to wear bonnets and hats. And if imagine if a woman from now, or even a man, forget people always talking about the way women dress. Even men, man. Take the way some men are dressing now, or women, or anybody, and just take them in a time capsule back 100 years ago. They would shock society by the way that they're looking. Or people might think they're a clown maybe, or this is some kind of like theater performance or something. So that keeps changing. Good from bad keeps changing. There's no constant. Everything becomes relative. Everything becomes relative. Even when they say, oh, don't steal, don't cheat, don't do this, people are stealing and cheating in different ways. It's not always literally me taking something from somebody else. There are different manifestations of these same crimes. But there's no constant to measure right from wrong. So where do we get that measure stick from? What is constant? What is something that does not change and is ever present, omnipresent, is what? Allah and wahi. Revelation came from Allah. So without wahi, without revelation, without following the messengers, there is no concept of right and wrong, or good from bad, or evil from pure. Because it's constantly changing. It's constantly relative and subjective. We can just sit here right now, and we can decide between ourselves what is good and what is not. And then a few days from now that will change. That's called hawa. That's called whims and desires. And we are supposed to seek refuge in Allah from our desires. And we're supposed to discipline our desires to follow Allah and His Messenger. So absolutely, we need al-Islam to be good people. We need al-Islam to be upright people, to be consistent. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ People come and go. Philosophies become popular and then they die. Certain philosophies were very fashionable. Right? You ask some of the elders in our group, back in their youth, in the 60s and the 70s and whatnot, philosophies of communism were very fashionable. Right? And socialism, these were very fashionable, popular philosophies. People like them. Nowadays, we don't like it as much. Zoom into the future, people aren't going to be so happy about democracy or capitalism or these other types of systems of living. Why? Because that's the nature of human being. Didn't we just say the dua of the messenger? Ya muqallib al-qulub. The hearts are constantly flipping and changing. So what's constant that doesn't change? The Quran is preserved. Wahi is preserved. The tradition of the Prophet ﷺ is preserved. Al-Islam is preserved until the day of judgment. We are not preserved. We're alive now, tomorrow we're going to be dead. Ideas are not preserved. They are popular now, tomorrow they will be unpopular. That's the nature of human beings, they're changing. So if we are following our own desires, if we are leaving the measure stick of right and wrong to our own intellect, it'll constantly be changing. And that's how people will be wronged and oppressed. There will be no consistency. And there will not be peace. The hearts will not find peace. There will not be an equilibrium. They'll constantly be shaky. People will not be able to find harmony and peace. We can only find peace when we are in harmony with our fitrah. We are created to worship Allah. When we fulfill that purpose of creation, we'll be at peace. Otherwise, it's tumultuous, constantly up and down and up and down. And so that's why following the messengers and following the Prophet ﷺ is extremely important. Why do we follow the Messenger of Allah ﷺ specifically? Why do we have to follow the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Let me ask you, why? Why is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam important for us to follow? Him specifically. We're talking about the Anbiya. Let's ask specifically about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why is it important for him to be our qudwa? Some people say the Messenger of Allah, we believe in him. But he was just a messenger. Meaning he delivered to us wahi, Qur'an, that's it. I don't have to live like the Messenger. So, why? Yes, very good. Because his life is a manifestation of the Qur'an. Very good. What else? What are some other reasons? أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولِ Obeying the Messenger of Allah is in essence obedience to Allah. Obedience to the Messenger of Allah is parallel to obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَن تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ Those that go against the commandments of the Prophet ﷺ, let them be warned that they be afflicted with a fitna, with a trial, or a severe punishment. Also because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him. Of his names is Al-Mustafa, from Istifa, to especially select someone. He was especially selected to be a role model. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected him. Also because of his ismah, protection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is infallible. Allah protected him from having any major sin. And of the minor errors that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had, they were corrected or clarified in the Qur'an. And in those stories are a lesson for us. Like for example, Abasa wa Tawalla, when a man came to the Prophet ﷺ and he frowned towards him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the Qur'an. Also when the Prophet ﷺ forbade consuming type of honey. يَا أَيْهُ النَّبِيُّ لِمَ تُحَرِّمُ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لَكَ Why are you making that which Allah made halal? Forbidden, etc. In his life are many lessons for us to learn from and implement. And also, following the Prophet ﷺ is one of the conditions and prerequisites for success and victory for the believers and for the ummah at large, regardless of what period of time we are referring to. Now, knowing the seerah of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ is mandatory for us to be able to take him as a role model. How are we else expected to follow his sunnah? How are we supposed to take him as a role model if we are not studying the events of his life, the occurrences of his life, reflecting upon them and extracting lessons from them? Now, speaking about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we come to a close soon, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a perfect role model in his khuluq, in his akhlaq. قُدْوَةٌ فِي الْخُلُقِ الْحَسَنِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about him, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ You are upon very high status of khuluq, of characteristics. And it was said about him that كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ عليه الصلاة والسلام As is mentioned by his wife Aisha. She says his characteristics were Al-Qur'an. The characteristics that you find emphasized in the Qur'an, the Prophet ﷺ implemented them. Safiya bint Huyay, radiallahu anha, she said, مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا أَحْسَنَ خُلُقًا مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ Hadith narrated by At-Tabarani. That I have never met anyone with better character, more beautiful character than the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anas, radiallahu anhu, in a beautiful narration, he says, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحسن الناس خلقا. Anas, رضي الله عنه, he says, let's talk about Anas for a moment. Anas was placed in the service of رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم from a young age. His mother, رميساء, she sent him when he was young boy, maybe like the age of 10 or so. And she said, go serve the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Go be in his service. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. So he says, وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ خَدِمْتُ تِسْعَ سِنِينَ He says, I served the Messenger of Allah for 9 years. مَا عَلِمْتُهُ قَالَ لِشَيْءٍ صَنَعْتُهُ لِمَ فَعَلْتَ كَذَا وَكَذَا أَوْ لِشَيْءٍ تَرَكْتُهُ هَلَّا فَعَلْتَ كَذَا وَكَذَا He said, in those 9 years, I don't ever know of him once saying, Why did you do this and this? Or if I didn't do something, why didn't you do such and such? Basically reprimanding him in that way. His manner of disciplining was gentle and beautiful, alayhi salatu wasalam. So Anas gives us a story one time. He says, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحسن الناس خلقا That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was of the most beautiful and best of people in manners. And he says, فأرسلني يوما لحاجة The Prophet ﷺ sent him to go run some errand or do some service. So he thought in the back of his head that he would do it, but when he went out, he passed by some صبيان, some young children, وهم يلعبون في السوق, and they're playing in the marketplace, playing in the street basically. So he got distracted. He was a young boy too. He starts playing with them. All of a sudden, he is surprised. فَإِذَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَدْ قَبِضَ بِقَفَايَ مِنْ وَرَائِي Prophet ﷺ grabbed him from behind without him noticing. And the Prophet ﷺ فَنَظَرْتُ إِلَيْهِ وَهُوَ يَضْحَكُ Said, I looked at him and he's smiling at me. Like, you know what I'm thinking about. وَقَالَ يَا أُنَيْس His name was Anas. He called him Unais, which is like tasghir. It's like a nickname. You know? When you make a nickname out of someone's name in a gentle manner. He told him, أَذَهَبْتَ حَيْثُ أَمَرْتُكَ He said, did you go to that place that I told you to go? Have you gone yet? So Anas said, قَالَ قُلْتُ نَعَمْ أَنَا أَذْهَبْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. He said, yeah, I'm going right now, O Messenger of Allah. And he went on his way. When Rasulullah ﷺ found him, he didn't smack him. I thought I told you to go do this. You're playing? Why didn't you go? He told him, did you go yet? Have you done it yet? He said, no, I'm going right now. Okay, go. Matter resolved, taken care of. مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا Anas says, كَانَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى مِنْ أَحْسَنِ النَّاسِ خُلُقًا He said, Safiya said, مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا أَحْسَنَ خُلُقًا مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ The Prophet ﷺ was very forgiving. Very forgiving and forbearant. This is called in Arabic, حِلْم. Forbearance. حِلْم. Patience is one thing. Hilm is like a high level of patience. So for example, if something challenging happens to you, you should be patient. Let's say for example, salamu alaykum. Say for example, you're driving and the car breaks down. You gotta be patient. But let's say for example, somebody doesn't notice, innocent mistake, and they bump into you. At that moment, you could lose your temper at that person. So this requires forbearance and patience. So not just patience, but hilm. You have to overlook the mistakes of others, or the ignorance of others. So Rasulullah ﷺ had a lot of hilm. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ It's from the mercy of Allah. Allah says in Surah Al-Imran, from the mercy of Allah that you were gentle with them. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ Allah is talking to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم about those that are around him. يعني the companions, the Sahaba. The companions. And he says, if you were tough and harsh with them, they would have left you. And the companions are the best generation of this ummah. Even if you were, even the companions, if you were tough and harsh, they would have left your side. Because nobody can be, or nobody can be patient, or nobody wants to be around someone that is always harsh with others. So Anas ibn Malik, that same companion, he says, كنت أمشي مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Says, I was walking with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وعليه برد نجراني غليظ الحاشية. He's wearing a overcoat or outer garment from Najran. Najran is a region in the south of Arabia. غليظ الحاشية, rough on the edges. The type of cloth was very rough. فأدركه أعرابي فجذبه جذبة شديدة حتى نظرت إلى صفحة عاتق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قد أثرت به حاشية الرداء. So he says, a Bedouin man came from behind the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم and grabbed him from the back of his outer garment, grabbed him from the collar, and pulled so tightly that this rough cloth made a mark in the skin of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Because it was a harsh cloth, and this Bedouin man yanked very hard. Now imagine if you see someone doing that to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Imagine if you saw someone doing that to your friend, or your companion, or your relative. You would be very angry. You would rush to their defense. So imagine with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. قد أثرت به حاشية الرداء من شدة جذبته ثم قال Then he said, the man, he pulled him by the garment, made a mark in his skin, and he told him, مر لي من مال الله الذي عندك. He said, command them to give me from the wealth that you have, that Allah has given you. The wealth that Allah has entrusted you with. فَالْتَفَتَ إِلَيْهِ So the Prophet ﷺ turned to him. So imagine if that happened to you or I. we would probably respond with some charged vocabulary words. Or maybe a strike with the hand, perhaps. فَالْتَفَتَ إِلَيْهِ فَضَحِكَ. Prophet ﷺ smiled, a big smile. Not the reaction you would expect. ثُمَّ أَمَرَ لَهُ بِعَطَاءٍ. So then he commanded some of the companions to give him some of the wealth. So this man, basically, it was from his right to get a portion of wealth. So the Muslim Ummah at that time, the nation, they had Baytul Mal. The Prophet ﷺ had wealth that was for the entire society. It would be divided amongst people based on their needs. So this man might have been needy, or he came to get his share, for example. That's besides the point. The point is he didn't have to ask in such a manner. And he didn't have to behave with the Prophet ﷺ in such a disrespectful way. But yet, the Prophet ﷺ overlooked that. Because he was A'rabi. He was a Bedouin. And he was ignorant and he was harsh. And that's how Bedouins behave. They're rude and ill-mannered. Even till today, many of them behave that way. Lack of knowledge and lack of adab. Manners as well. Ill-mannered. They grew up in the Badia, in the desert. Their teachers are camels and goats. So they learnt from the adab of that which was surrounding them. So they were not very civilized. They were not very refined in their manners and in their dealings. But the Prophet ﷺ overlooked that. He didn't respond. He didn't shout at him or, "You know who I am?" It wasn't like that. So, okay. Give him what he is owed and let him be on his way. And a smile too, by the way. That's the interesting part. فَضَحِكَ فَالْتَفَتَ إِلَيْهِ فَضَحِكَ. And how many of us would be, and probably the best of us would be able to control their tongues at a similar situation. But how many would be able to actually respond with something good? ادْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَن. Respond with that which is better. Also from his mercy, a role model in mercy. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that you are mercy. للعالمين, for all living creation, whether they are ins or jinn. عن أبي ذر رضي الله عنه قال صلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليلة فقرأ بآية حتى أصبح يركع بها ويسجد بها. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم stood up one night. Abu Dharr, may Allah be pleased with him, he narrates us that the Prophet ﷺ prayed one night, Qiyamul Layl, voluntary extra prayers, and the whole night he recited one verse. He kept on repeating the same verse and he was being affected emotionally. He was impacted by this verse and he kept on repeating it. And that verse was from Surah Al-Ma'idah, from the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. If you are to punish them, this is basically a verse in the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah, and the context of it, this is a statement of Isa alayhi salam, Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus. Isa, on the Day of Judgment, he says to Allah, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks Isa ibn Maryam on that day, أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَهَيْنِ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. Did you tell the people, take me and my mother as deities to be worshipped besides Allah? And so Isa says, مَا قُلْتُ لَهُمْ إِلَّا مَا أَمَرْتَنِي بِهِ. I didn't tell people except what you commanded me to tell them. إِن كُنْتُ قُلْتُهُ فَقَدْ عَلِمْتَهُ. If I were to have said it, you would have known. تَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِي وَلَا أَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِكَ. You know what is concealed within me, and I don't know what you have concealed and what you have kept with yourself. Meaning, you are all knowing. Allah is السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. All hearing, all seeing. إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ. If you choose to punish them, they are your servants. Everybody is from the ibad of Allah. Everybody is a servant of Allah because everybody was created by Allah. And everybody is in need of Allah, and everybody will eventually go back to Allah. Whether they choose to worship Allah or not, everybody is at the end of the day a abd in that general definition of abd. And we talked about this in Surah Al-Fatiha when we talked about ubudiyah. Every creation of Allah is in need of Allah, is created by Allah, and will go back to Him. So in that general sense, they are all abd. They're all abid of Allah. They're all servants and in need of Allah. So if you choose to punish them, hey, they're your creation. Oh Allah, could do with your creation what you please. وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. But if you choose to forgive them, فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. If you choose to forgive them, then you are mighty and wise. And aziz, izza. Glorious. Meaning that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the implication of this is that Allah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to forgive, it's not decreasing from His status subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiving, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to forgive every single human being for every wrong that they have done, that would not decrease from His status. That would not take away from His izzah, from His might and His glory. And that's why the scholars said that this verse concluded with the names of Allah, Al-Aziz, Al-Hakim. Mighty, glorious, and wise. Most verses that talk about Allah forgiving conclude with Al-Ghafur Al-Rahim or Al-Rahman Al-Rahim. The most forgiving, most merciful, most gracious, most merciful, etc. But this one concluded with Al-Aziz Al-Hakim. Because the messenger is speaking to Allah and saying, if you choose to forgive them, you are still Aziz Hakim. You are still mighty and glorious and most wise. Jalla Jalaluhu. فَلَمَّا أَصْبَحَ قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. So Abu Dharr, when the morning came, he asked the Messenger of Allah about this. He told him, O Messenger of Allah, مَا زِلْتَ تَقْرَأُ هَذِهِ الْآيَةَ حَتَّى أَصْبَحْتَ تَرْكَعُ بِهَا وَتَسْجُدُ بِهَا. He said, the whole night you were reciting the same verse. رَكْعَ in, رَكْعَ out, each one repeating over and over again. قَالْ إِنِّي سَأَلْتُ رَبِّي عَزَّ وَجَلَّ الشَّفَاعَةَ لِأُمَّتِي فَأَعْطَانِيهَا. وَهِيَ نَائِلَةٌ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ لَا يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ شَيْئًا. The Prophet ﷺ says, I asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for shafa'a for my ummah. The Prophet ﷺ interceded on behalf of his ummah and asked to have that intercession. Because on the Day of Judgment, on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant intercession only to those who He gives permission to. وَلَا يَشْفَعُونَ إِلَّا لِمَنِ ارْتَضَى. That only those who are given permission by Allah to do shafa'a, to intercede on someone else's behalf, only they can do shafa'a. So this is important because a lot of people ask intercession from those that have died, believing that they are pious, or they are scholars, or maybe they were prophets. Some people go to what is believed to be the graves of certain prophets, and they go to those graves and they're asking for intercession. But the reality is only those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave permission for intercession can intercede. Just because somebody is pious, or just because somebody was scholarly, or just because somebody was a good person, doesn't mean that they will be given that permission. So you should ask from Allah only. And on the day of judgment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather all people, and people will be essentially waiting for accountability to begin. Hisab didn't even start yet. Didn't begin yet. Everyone is just waiting. And it's a tense situation. Some people will be drowning in their sweat. Some people will be shaded. They will be under the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the people will want accountability to begin. That waiting becomes in and of itself too much to handle. You know, like if you're standing in line somewhere, you lose patience after a while. It becomes very frustrating. Like something happened, just something. But I'm tired of waiting. What's going to happen? We don't know. It's very frustrating. And so the people, they go to the Anbiya. Who are the best of humans? The best of humans are the Anbiya. So they go to each one. Can you please beg Allah to begin hisab? To begin accountability. يَذْهَبُونَ إِلَىٰ Adam. So they go to Adam. Adam tells them, no. He is too embarrassed. He can't go. He said, Allah forbade me from eating from the tree and I ate from the tree. I'm not going to stand before Allah right now. I'm too shy. They go to Nuh. Nuh says, no. What happened with my son? I'm too shy to ask Allah in front of Allah. They go to each one of the prophets. Musa, no, you don't know what I did. I made a mistake. They go to Isa. You know what the people said about me and my mother after I died? I'm not going to go in front of Allah. They're too shy. Until they come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ana laha. I am for this task. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes in front or beneath the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and makes sujood. He prostrates. And he makes hamd and thana of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ways that Allah was never praised or thanked before. And he remains like that for a long period of time. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, Irfa' ra'sak wasal tu'ta washfa' tushaffa. Raise your head, O Messenger of Allah, and ask whatever you want, it will be given to you, and intercede on anyone's behalf, your intercession will be accepted. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I mean, he's basically given this blank check from Allah. Ask whatever you want, it'll be given to you. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he responds and he says, Ummati, ummati. My ummah, my ummah. He intercedes on behalf of his ummah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith that, Shafa'ati li ahli al-kaba'iri min ummati. Wa kama qala alayhi salatu wasallam, that my intercession are for those from my ummah that commit major sins. Major sins that warrant some type of punishment. The Prophet ﷺ intercedes on their behalf. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives. And that's why in this narration the Prophet ﷺ says, I asked my Rabb, I asked my Lord and Master and Creator for shafa'ah, for intercession for my ummah, and so He granted me that. That's why after adhan, what's the dua that we make after we hear adhan? Allahumma rabba hadhihi ad-da'wati at-tamma, salati al-qa'ima, ati Muhammadan al-wasilata wal-fadila, wab'athu maqaman mahmudan ladhi wa'adta. Wab'athu maqaman mahmuda wad-darajat al-rafi'a, another narration. That elevated status, that maqam mahmud, that praiseworthy station, is this, that station on the Day of Judgment, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be in that place making shafa'a, making intercession for his ummah. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, inshaAllah, by the will of Allah, that shafa'a is for whoever does not commit shirk from my ummah. Anyone from this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that doesn't worship other than Allah or worship anyone besides Allah, they will be granted that shafa'a from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inshaAllah. So now, what is our reaction? Sit back and relax. Do whatever you want to do, right? Because you have intercession, you have shafa'a. Khalas, you get a shafa'a. Do whatever you want. You're fine, right? No. That's called playing games. That's called being arrogant. That's called playing games with Allah and His deen. And those that play games with Allah and His deen, they are in a very bad situation. You think Abu Bakr and Umar had that attitude? Abu Bakr and Umar, they were from the Ashra al-Mubashira bil-Jannah. They are these companions that the Prophet ﷺ explicitly said, well, they were alive. The Prophet ﷺ explicitly said they are from the people of Jannah. They could have taken it easy for the rest of their life. Khalas, imagine when Abu Bakr was told, oh, did you hear what the Messenger of Allah said about you? You're from the people of Jannah. Khalas, relax. Take it easy. But Abu Bakr, they told him, when will you relax? He said, when both of my feet are in Jannah. Not one of them, when both of them are in Jannah. Then I can relax. And this is someone who is given glad tidings of Jannah. You and me, we didn't get those glad tidings. We have the glad tidings of the Shafa'ah of the Prophet ﷺ. We have the promise of Allah. That those who believe in Allah on the last day and do good deeds, they will be from the people of Jannah. We just got to keep our side of the bargain. We have to keep our side of the bargain. Tayyib. We will stop here today, inshallah. Give you guys a few minutes to get ready for Salatul Isha. Renew your wudu if you need to. If anybody has any questions, you may ask some questions. And we will begin, we will continue next week speaking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a role model. We will talk about how he dealt with his family and his relatives and those around him. That's the first chapter, or the second chapter of the book. So we will continue with that section next week, inshallah ta'ala, how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to listen and follow the best of what we hear. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the highest levels of Jannah. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.